helping you to stay safe in a world where danger never takes a vacation. And as always, I've got my monthly shout out. So I want to say thank you to Jeff Rinderly of Rinderly Door Company for conducting training at the Wisconsin State Fire Inspectors Association Area 1 chapter meeting on January 27th. That meeting was held by a Zoom. Jeff instructed on the components of fire doors as well as the codes related to those doors. Second one is a thank you to Mike Wass and Ain King of the Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin Charitable Foundation for the 60 smoke alarms donated to the West Bend Fire Department. These smoke alarms will be installed along with the smoke alarms donated by the American Red Cross. If you are in need of smoke alarms installed in your home, please call my office, area code 262-335-5055 to schedule an appointment, and I will come and install those smoke alarms for you. Oh, go ahead, Rick.
Boy, there have been a lot of fires in the news lately as I look through things, and several of them mention that people have been alerted by working smoke detectors.
Yes, so, and that is one of the reasons why I try to get out and do as many installations as I can. So for the month of January, there were 9 total fire deaths in the state of Wisconsin. That's more than January of last year. Last year total was 52 total fire deaths in Wisconsin. A lot of those, again, related to not having smoke alarms in the homes. So, again, if you want a smoke alarm, or multiple smoke alarms, I should say, installed in your home, the number, again, 262-335-5055. If you're in the West Bend Fire Department Fire Protection Area, I will come and install smoke alarms in your home free of charge.
And where, again, how many should people have in a house? Where should they be?
Oh, they should be, okay, so at a minimum, one on every level. You should have one in every sleeping area and one outside every sleeping area. The UL Fire Safety Research Institute, all the research they've done, you should have the door closed to your bedroom when you go to sleep. So that's part of the UL FSRI Close Before You Doze program, because the research has shown that there could be a fire that's about 1,000 degrees in the living room, but it is only 100 degrees in the bedroom. So you need one in the sleeping areas, outside the sleeping areas, and any areas that are actually going to be closed off. So, like, let's say an office, anywhere where you have electronics, anywhere where there's electricity really should have a smoke alarm. So I just bought some more smoke alarms for my home. I've got a total of 11 at this point, just because, again, I want to be safe and I don't want the headlines to read anything bad about a fire captain who promotes it. So I have 11 in my house right now, and I will be actually installing more. I want to get one up in the attic. So I am just super safe because, again, I don't have a sprinkler system in my home. I own an older home, so I won't be able to put a retrofit sprinkler system in mine. I want as much early warning as I can get so that my smoke detectors and smoke alarms will activate when I need them to, if there's something that happens in my home.
And also, we need to remind people that smoke detectors, as long as we're on the topic, we'll hit it one more time here. Smoke detectors don't last forever.
Correct. So there is a 10-year life on those smoke alarms. Remember, those smoke alarms are monitoring the air 24/7. So those sensors will wear out. And again, that's why they sell them with the 10-year lithium ion battery. So they will chirp when the 10-year lifespan is met. And so again, let's say 10 years on the smoke alarms, 7 years on carbon monoxide alarms. And that's why I always try to promote having the separate systems, not having the combination CO and smoke, just a better cost effectiveness for your money to have separate carbon monoxide alarms. And again, those carbon monoxide alarms, you should have one on each level. It should be a either hardwired or a plug-in detector with a battery backup, so that way, and a digital display. So that way it's always monitoring. You always know if there's a problem, and we can see if you do have a problem, that we can see the levels and compare them to our meters if you have a problem that you need us to come and mitigate that issue with CO.
And there have been a couple of recent local calls with that, because I heard them on the scanner.
Yes, so we do get occasional ones. Luckily, most of them have been really low levels, but again, finding those ones with low levels, because anytime you have something that starts out small, such as a furnace or a water heater issue or a dryer issue, it starts out as a small one that gives you warnings with low levels, and then those problems grow if you didn't detect it and didn't have a carbon monoxide detector in your home to alert you of that small issue.
Right, right. All right, so you talked briefly about sprinklers, and that takes us to our next segment.
Yeah, so our monthly sprinkler save or fires you never hear about because there's no news in something that was stopped from happening. And as I pointed out, I'm an advocate of fire sprinkler systems and a dues-paying member of the National Fire Sprinkler Association, www.nfsa.org. Be sure to follow the National Fire Sprinkler Association on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So I was lucky enough to have four from Wisconsin, and some of these have lessons, again, because we have a sprinkler system that stops a fire, and the fire started because of a lesson that somebody didn't learn and did something to start the fire, and they lucked out that a sprinkler system stopped it.
Yes.
So our first save comes from Eau Claire. Thank you to Fire Inspector Jason Necht for bringing this one to my attention. On Thursday, January 14th at 8:30 p.m., the Eau Claire Fire Department was dispatched to the 3400 block of White Avenue for a fire alarm. Crews arrived on scene to find thick smoke in an 800-foot by 200-foot warehouse. Access through the building was difficult because of doors that were blocked with pallets of product.
Oops.
Firefighters found that a sprinkler head had controlled the fire. Firefighters were able to extinguish the fire and perform overhaul operations. The cause was pallets of product that were stacked too close to the radiant tube heaters at ceiling level. So only $500,000 of the $3.4 million worth of product were lost. The business was closed for 36 hours and was able to resume normal operations within 2 days.
Okay, so in a case like this, does this company get cited?
No, there is no citation usually for these things, but what happens is it's usually frowned on by the insurance company. So they do gain because of having the sprinkler system, but my bet is that the insurance company was probably in there telling management and employees how to be fire safe. Again, because the insurance company is taking a loss, so they have a vested interest in making sure that these are the fire safety rules are followed. But my bet is they were in there, and my other bet is the premiums went up. So again, there's no, because nobody was hurt or killed in this one, so there are no fines. Again, there's lessons to be learned here about the danger and what could have happened if there wasn't a sprinkler system.
No kidding. All right, on to the next one.
Our next sprinkler save comes from Glendale. Thank you to Marty King of the National Fire Sprinkler Association and Matt Mertens of the North Shore Fire Department for alerting me on this incident. At approximately 5 o'clock on Tuesday, January 5th, the North Shore Fire Department was dispatched to a nursing home on Bender Road. An activated sprinkler head suppressed the fire that originated in the room. The origin of the fire was a package terminal air conditioner, a PTAC, which is one of those self-contained HVAC units like you'd find in a hotel room. Firefighters completed overhaul operations to stop further loss.
So that thing shorted out or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know what the end result was. What they found, they just narrowed it down to that PTAC unit. So I don't know if it was defective or if there was something wrong electrically. But yeah, that's what the unit that started it. Again, I haven't done the research to find how many of those fires actually start. Again, any electronic device can start a fire. So this is just another example of something to watch out for in any hotel room or any type of building like this that has those type of units.
I always seem to get the room that's got the one that sounds like, it's coffee grinding.
Right, exactly.
All night long.
Yeah, and the one that you constantly have to adjust, because 2 degrees too high makes it a sauna, and 2 degrees too cold makes it an ice box.
Right, so, exactly. Yeah. And it blows enough air to dry your laundry or fly a kite.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so on number three.
Our third one. Thank you to Chief John Cohn of the Greenfield Fire Department for this next one. On Saturday, February 6th, just after 5 p.m., the Greenfield Fire Department received a report of an automatic fire alarm activation in the 4400 block of South 110th Street. The cause was a grease fire that started on the stove. The occupant carried the pot to the sink and turned on the water in an attempt to extinguish the fire. The water on the oil flared up and caused the sprinkler head to activate. Now, there's two lessons in this story. So the first one, if you have a grease fire, be sure to have the lid to the pot or pan available, or a cookie sheet or something similar to cover the pot or pan in the event of a grease fire. A fire extinguisher or baking soda is also helpful if you don't have anything to cover the pot or pan. Never use water on an oil or grease fire. Oil and grease are lighter than water. The water will initially spread the fire, and the burning oil will sit on top of the water and spread the fire. The second lesson is that big fires start small. So the Greenfield Fire Department was initially not going to post the sprinkler save. So when Chief Cohn texted this to me, he thought it was too small. And I said, I thought that big fires start small. And if this fire was big enough to activate the sprinkler head, it was big enough to burn down a building without a sprinkler system. So they eventually posted this one. And again, the pictures make it look like, oh my God, no, it's not that big a deal. You've got a small pot in the kitchen sink. Well, anytime you get something like that starts spreading, and again, the grease fires burn very hot, you start getting it on the countertops, and into the kitchen cabinets, this building could have burned down or had a major fire in the building if it wasn't for the sprinkler system.
Because I would guess that most cabinet material, countertop material, has got enough combustible material in it that it could start on fire.
Yeah, so if you're going to have, like, let's say in an apartment building, and they're going to use laminate countertops and laminate cabinets, that's very... very good fuel for a fire. It's going to burn fast. It's going to burn hot, and it's going to spread very quickly. So again, that's why we need sprinkler systems in multifamily residential buildings, just because these fires will start quickly and they will just take off and become a very difficult fire to extinguish without a sprinkler system in the buildings.
And we have one more sprinkler save with Fireman Kenny this morning. One of our favorite topics.
Yes, we have another one from the North Shore Fire Department. So on Sunday, February 7th at 1:32 p.m., North Shore Fire Rescue was dispatched to St. Christopher's Episcopal Church, 7845 North River Road in River Hills for a fire alarm. Firefighters found an activated sprinkler due to a dehumidifier fire. So here we go again. We have another dehumidifier fire. So just remember to check your dehumidifiers to see if they are on the recall list.
And again, a reminder, we'll get to this when we get down to burns, I think, but dehumidifier is also another good thing to not plug into a power strip or a normal extension cord.
Exactly. Those things use a lot of energy, so they really should have their own outlet. So always make sure to plug in major appliances to their own outlet, because those energy draws will end up causing some sort of issue with the electronics, or you'll end up, best case scenario, you end up with a trip breaker. Worst case scenario, you end up with a fire that burns down a building because of these recall dehumidifiers.
Right, right. Well, it is time for one of our features of the month. This is National Burn Awareness Week.
Yeah, so National Burn Awareness Week, sponsored by the American Burn Association. I am a member of the American Burn Association. I'm also on the Burn Prevention Committee and in charge of the Media, Materials, and Awareness Subcommittee. So I'm pretty proud of the campaign so far this year. A lot of people sharing the graphics. So thank you to everybody who's done that so far. So according to the National Fire Protection Association, local fire departments responded to an estimated average of 44,880 home fires involving electrical failure or malfunction each year in 2012 through 2016. NFPA also states that home fires involving electrical failure or malfunction caused an estimated average of 440 civilian deaths and 1,250 civilian injuries each year in 2012 through 2016, as well as an estimated $1.3 billion in direct property damage each year. The National Institute of Health reports approximately 1,000 deaths per year because of electrical injuries. Of these, approximately 400 are due to high voltage electrical injuries, and lightning causes somewhere between 50 and 300. So National Burn Awareness Week, sponsored by the American Burn Association, is February 7th to the 13th. The theme for this year's campaign was selected to help prevent electrical injuries and deaths. The slogan for the campaign is electrical safety from amps to zap. The hashtag NBAW campaign will focus on the slogan with helpful hints about preventing electrical burns from A to Z. Categories of burn injury prevention topics include digging and underground power line safety, so make sure to call Digger's Hotline before you do any digging. Electrical shock drowning, so that's where you would have stray voltage in a marina area. And so what happens is swimmers in that marina get overcome by the electricity where it kind of paralyzes the muscles, and then those people drown. So we want to make sure people are aware of that. Extension cords, fractal wood burning. So this one was new to me. So fractal wood burning is a very dangerous hobby where you're taking electricity, running it through some wood to make designs. And you're using water and oil to spread that electricity. Again, this is very dangerous. I will discourage this hobby. As a matter of fact, a person from Milton died doing this about 2 years ago. So please do not involve yourself with this hobby of fractal wood burning. Lightning, locking out and tagging out. So in the industrial setting, make sure to lock out and tag out any machinery or equipment you're working on. Power strips and worn out electrical cords are all dangers to us when we have talk about electrical burns and electrical injuries. According to the Electrical Safety Foundation International, there is a downward trend of workplace-related electrical fatalities from 2003 through 2018. According to ESFI, there were 160 work-related electrical fatalities in 2018. That is up slightly from the 136 fatalities in 2017, but down from the peak of 254 in 2004. ESFI also reports a record low number of 1,560 non-fatal occupational electrical injuries in 2018, which was a 29% decrease over 2017.
Okay, so what do they attribute the decrease to? Better education and less dangerous things happening?
Yeah, I think there is a more focus on safety when you're involved in electrical programs. That I think they just make people aware of it more. I think there's probably a greater penalty for if they find you not following the electrical safety standards. So I think that it's just been a greater promotion of the safety, as well as knowing that should you be found doing something unsafe, there could be some sort of penalty for it. So again, hopefully everybody's embracing safety on the job site and practicing all the safe methods to keep these injuries from occurring.
All right. And some burn prevention efforts and fire prevention efforts combined?
Yeah, so we can combine both of those to reduce electrical burns. Some of the electrical burn prevention messages that go hand in hand with fire prevention messages include check power cords for wear and tear, plug appliances into their own outlets like we talked about earlier, buy extension cords that have a UL or other third-party testing lab approval. Never substitute extension cords for permanent wiring.
Now, again, just because the extension cord has got a UL tag on it, that doesn't mean you can use it for everything. You really need to check the rating on those extension cords, right?
Yes, so you have to make sure that you never use an extension cord that has less, let's say, thick. I'll use thickness as the example. So you want to make sure that it's got the same or more rating as what you're plugging it into. So you never want to go with a lower gauge cord, so a thinner cord than what you're plugged into, because that'll create a lot of friction and a lot of heat, which will eventually cause a fire that by the failure of the cord.
All right. And we had a guy who we used to get our DJ equipment from, who was infamous for clipping that ground plug off.
Oh, God, yeah. So remember, if it has a ground plug on it, if it has three pieces to it that goes into a three-piece plug, it's meant to be there. So make sure that you are using, if you have a grounded plug, don't clip it off. Don't use the reducers. If you've got an older home that you think you need those reducers from the three plug to the two plug, you're creating kind of a dangerous situation. Get an electrician into your home and get that electricity updated.
All right. Sounds good. What else on this topic?
So the American Burn Association's goal for hashtag NBAW2021 campaign is to reduce the incidence of injury and deaths from electricity. Be sure to like the ABA social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and share any hashtag NBAW posts on your personal and organizational social media feeds. Promotion of electrical injury prevention tips is the best defense against electrical burns. For more information, visit the American Burn Association website, www.ameriburn.org.
All right. Sounds good. And, of course, we are in February, and it's, Valentine's Day month, and kind of hearts go along with that.
Exactly. So February is American Heart Month. So I'll be touching just briefly on this topic, as we may have someone from Fratered Health on later this month to talk about American Heart Month, which is sponsored by the American Heart Association. So for your statistics for American Heart Month, according to the Centers for Disease Control, heart disease is the number one leading cause of death in the U.S. One person dies every 36 seconds in the U.S. from cardiovascular disease. Heart disease costs the U.S. citizens about $219 billion each year. That's statistics from 2014 to 2015. This includes the cost of healthcare services, medicines, and lost productivity due to health. Coronary artery disease is the most common type of heart disease, killing almost 366,000 people in 2017. About 18.2 million adults aged 20 or older have coronary artery disease. About 2 in 10 deaths from coronary artery disease happen in adults less than 65 years old. And every year, about 805,000 Americans have a heart attack.
Raise your hand if you've had one.
Oh. Correct.
It is, by the way, heart disease is the number one killer in Wisconsin, too, by the way.
Yes, it is. So we need to make sure that we are heart healthy and heart safe. But there is really one important benefit of living in the West Bend Fire Department ambulance service areas. So the West Bend Fire Department and the New Berlin Fire Department are currently the only two ambulance services in the Milwaukee metro area that are able to transport directly to the cardiac catheterization lab at Fratert Hospital in Wauwatosa. This is mainly because of the demonstrated ability of West Bend Fire Department paramedics to recognize cardiac events and effectively treat those patients. So there's many benefits to the patient who are able to bypass the emergency room and go directly to the cath lab. So the first one is immediate treatment for their cardiac event. So that means fewer delays in treatment by not stopping in the emergency room. So it's improved recovery rates with a reduced time for recovery. So that means there's decreased cost. There's no bill in the for the emergency room because you're not there. And according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, U.S. healthcare spending grew 4.6% in 2019, reaching $3.8 trillion, or about $11,582 per person. As a share of the nation's gross domestic product, health spending accounted for 17.7%. So the small extra amount that West Bend citizens pay in taxes for our firefighter paramedics to be able to provide this high level of service saves tens of thousands of dollars in health care costs each year. So again, we're going to try to reduce the incidence by doing a little prevention. We're going to treat if the prevention didn't work, and then hopefully we'll save you some money and improve your recovery time if you have a cardiac event and call 911 and you're treated by West Bend Fire Department paramedics.
All right. Sounds good. Other things kind of related to American Heart Month.
Yeah, so Heart Failure Awareness Week is this week, February 9th to the 15th. And then National Cardiovascular Professionals Week is February 14th to the 20th. So more information on American Heart Month, you can visit www.heart.org. And speaking of American Heart Month, congratulations to School District Nurse Amy Brager and the West Bend School District. Silverbrook Intermediate School and Badger Middle School have recently recertified as heart-safe schools through Project ATOM. The designation assures that students, staff, and visitors at the schools will receive high-quality CPR and have defibrillators available should someone suffer a cardiac event while at the schools.
All right. And we're talking with Fireman Kenny this morning. Hey, I want to talk about something that's not on the list here because there have been a number of fires recently, and that seem to be a lot of notices in my email, especially since I'm doing these, kind of a statewide news in the mornings now. What's it like fighting a fire on a day like today?
Pretty much miserable. So the thing is, it's clear inside. Where inside the fire where it's really hot, you come outside and it's super cold. So even though you've got turnout gear on, actually today wouldn't be anywhere as bad. It's the windy days with those sub-zero wind chills that are really bad, but it's frigid because you're trying to make sure that all the firefighters are keeping warm when they're outside, especially like my time as a driver standing on icy streets, trying to keep the hose lines from freezing up can be very difficult. You end up with lots of ice everywhere when you've got leaks at the couplings. So when you're fighting a fire in sub-zero temperatures, it's pretty miserable. And every fire department is guaranteed at some point during this time of year to be involved in some fire, whether it's mutual aid or their own fires. Because in December, January, February is the highest incidence of home heating fires. So it's really very difficult at best to try and keep the energy levels up because you're just miserable outside. And especially, like, let's say in the older days when we spent time on the roof, trying to cut the roofs open to ventilate the homes. Now we do things a little differently with cross ventilations, but it's a very, very difficult and very taxing and very physically demanding activity to be involved in when you're fighting a fire in sub-zero weather.
And complicated further by the fact that a couple of these fires I saw, there were no hydrants nearby So they had to bring in water, and then I suppose that means you have to set up that square tank thing, right?
Yeah, so you have the port-a-tank in country areas where you don't have fire hydrants. So rural water movement is extremely difficult just because there are formulas that you have to figure out with travel time and dump time. So there are fires in country areas where you do run out of water initially until those water tenders show up to be able to dump into the port-a-tanks. And again, now, and since we brought up where there's the fire hydrants, in areas where in the city, make sure to be a hydrant hero. So there are still some hydrants that are buried under the snow. So do us a favor and take care of those hydrants. Again, a 3-foot distance around the hydrant, mostly to the street, is the most important. So please do us a favor and clear out those hydrants because we have no idea when we're actually going to need them. And hopefully we won't. But when we do need those hydrants, we do need them very quickly.
Right. Yeah, I'd be much It'd be much better to spend that time shoveling it now as opposed to scrambling to get it shoveled while somebody's trying to hook a hose up to it and your house is burning down.
Exactly. That's it's usually frowned upon when your house burns down because you don't have access to the water that's right in front of it.
Right. Exactly. All right. Well, we need to wrap up here with talking about some other events in February and just a couple things in March.
Sure. So for the rest of February, February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. And then, of course, we've got National Condom Week, which is February 14th to the 21st. That's the week that always includes Valentine's Day. So, again, we're talking prevention. So we always want to be safety, use the condoms during National Condom Week. And for March, Daylight Savings Time starts Sunday, March 14th. Just a reminder to change the battery in your smoke alarms and carbon monoxide alarms when you change your clocks. So there's not that many smoke alarms and carbon monoxide alarms out there anymore that really have batteries that need to be changed. A lot of them have the 10-year lithium ion batteries. But just remember that if you do have some, to change those batteries. And a lot of them that are hardwired and interconnected, they do have a power source, but they also have a battery backup. That battery backup kicks in when the power goes out in your house, so those smoke alarms will work. So make sure to change those batteries.
And it is guaranteed to begin chirping the night you need sleep the most.
Exactly. It never goes off at 2 in the afternoon. It always goes off at 2 a.m.
Right.
I think there's got to be some conspiracy theory in there somewhere, I'm sure.
I would think.
So March is also National Ladder Safety Month, National Kidney Month, Brain Injury Awareness Month, and then Brain Awareness Week is March 16th to the 22nd, and then National Inhalants and Poisons Awareness Week is March 21st to the 27th.
All right. Sounds good. Lots of stuff going on, and again, appreciate your time and some good information for folks this morning. And we hope that we can save a life or at least save a boo boo somewhere along
exactly.
the way.
Exactly. Right? Well, and the bigger thing is, again, all the listeners are all the ones that are following these. Do us a favor and tell the people who aren't listening. So we have these things happening all the time. You people are the smart people who are listening. Make sure to tell the people who are not listening how to put out a grease fire effectively. Make sure you tell the people who are not listening how to plug in something, not using extension cords, not using power strips. I need as much help as possible because there are so many people who are not listening and not heeding the warnings and not getting the solid advice that is needed to help keep them safe. So, and again, thank you in advance for all the help you're giving me. Thanks to everybody for all of the compliments I get when I'm out and I see you in public. So again, just try to make sure that everybody is following these safety tips.
All right. Thanks, Kenny. We'll talk to you next month.
Yep. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's returning to quarters.